Amen. Well, good morning and welcome. Welcome to Voice of Believers Church, Sunday morning edition, where we come and learn how to overcome and win in life, because there's things we need to overcome. And we come together as a family to stand together and stand firm, and we learn and we grow together so we can be strong and resist those, make the devil stand underneath our feet. Praise God. I also was listening to a message this morning, and I learned something. We're always learning, praise God. Isn't that good? You want your pastors to keep learning, right? Make sure. And I learned something. I learned that not only do we come together in obedience to God, and God wants us to come together at church, not just because, but because it's good for us, so we can learn together, and so we can keep each other hot for the Lord. Because the world has a way of making it cold, right? But it keeps our hearts hot for God. But I also learned something else, too. I heard Hebrews 10:25, and it says, so we should not be forsaking our meetings, our coming together as believers, and especially as we continue to encourage each other, but especially as we see the day of the Lord coming. I never really paid attention to that. Isn't that good? So we especially, when the day of the Lord is returning, and we know the day is coming. Isn't that good news? Amen. That's good news. And also, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. I want doing things the world's way isn't working. Doing things God's way will work, and it's a seed. And we can expect that seed to produce if we don't give up. Whatever seed we're planting. So if we've been planting the wrong things, we just uproot it by making the decision. Oh, yeah, if you need any envelopes, just raise your hand, and he'll get it to you. While we pray, get ready to pray over our offerings and our tithes. And so if we don't like the seed we've been planting, just root it out, pull it up. Don't get discouraged by how many weeds there are. Just do one weed at a time. And keep planting the seed of the Word of God. Keep applying the Word of God to your life until finally your life will start lining up and the blessing comes and overtakes that curse. We cannot give up, praise God, because it's worth that we can do this. God's Word is sure. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray over it. Well, Father God, we just come before you as a body of believers, Father, the family of God. And we come together, Lord, knowing that because we're doers, we're receivers, because that's a free gift, that it's going to work. No weapon formed against us will prosper. You said that when we tithe and bring our offerings to the house of God, you open up the windows of heaven. You open up the windows of heaven, and you pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. And then you rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground. And knowing that, all the nations will call us blessed. So we just thank you for that. We stand on that. We receive that. We act on that. And Lord, you said that when we give, it will be given back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men bring into our bosom. Yep. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. You said we can believe for a 30, 60, or 100. We can believe for 1,000. We can believe for as much as our faith will allow. There's no limits to God. We're believing for 1 billion. Why not? It's the end time transfer. Why not go out with a big bang? So, Lord, I'm just agreeing for every need that will be met here abundantly, overflowing, that we're going to receive favor when no one else is receiving favor. We're going to receive increase when no one else is receiving increase. We're going to receive healing even if no one else receives healing. We are operating in faith, and we believe what you say, and we receive it. We just thank you, Lord. I speak the blessing over every household here and in the body of Christ, and all who agree say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. For we are not going to have Monday night recovery tomorrow. We are not. We actually, pastor took the day off. We're going to actually go on a date. So we are actually going to take a break from Monday night recovery. I have to send out reminders. We're going to have a regular service on Wednesday nights, and on the third Friday of every month, we are having healing school. So we can learn not only how to receive healing, but how to keep healing. Isn't that good? And any other? We're just making plans for an upcoming calendar. We are going to have our Bible Camp for Kids coming up in June. And, oh, that's right, in Memorial Day, right? We're going to have our annual church picnic. This will be our third one, church picnic at the lake. So that'll be that Monday, Memorial Day. Invite your family and friends. All are welcome.
And I need to know
how many going to be there. Because we need to have help to get the tables and chairs.
Well, no, I need to know. That way I know how much catfish to get.
Well, forget it.
They say an average person, eats about a pound and a half of catfish because you got hush puppies and fries. And I really need to know how many people are going to be
Praise
there,
God.
Your families. That way I can get plenty then and everything. Because now, me and Michael, we might eat 3 pounds.
Right. And you don't have to volunteer, but we're looking for volunteers.
But, you know, they go from the age of a young kid up to an adult, and it averages out about a pound and a half per person, is what they say on catfish. And it's going to be good channel catfish from H&R. It's not going to be any of that
Amen.
Stuff from Cambodia, praise God.
Yeah, and we'll have birthday cake for Jimmy and Amy, too. You know, that's just the part of being a
gonna be
preacher's
May,
kids. They got to share it.
It's going to be May the 30th,
yeah.
Monday. Is when it is. So the
what time?
I guess I need to get a piece of paper somewhere and people
put
need
on
to
the
put
calendar.
Down their names and who me and the family are going
okay.
that way. I need to know because I need to get to H&R like 2 weeks before Memorial Day because everybody's going to get there that last week and wanting this and that and everything for their parties for Memorial Day weekend, and I don't want to be sold out. So I need to know pretty soon. So I do need to get some kind of paper.
Okay, I'll get to work on it.
Yeah, or I can either
Praise
way.
God.
Praise
okay.
God. Yeah. I'm thinking. So we got that covered. And then we'll get ready for our annual children's camp in June. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Anybody, volunteers, be great. Candy, you can start somewhere in about 2 weeks. You can start bringing in candy for that if you feel led by the Lord to be for the children. We'll need plenty of candy. You know, I guess candy will last a month and a half, so it's going to be probably right around the middle of June when it's going to be. But if you want to see candy, bag of candy on sale, please grab it and bring it up here. It'll be for the kids' children's camp. That'll be like 6 p.m. on a Friday. We'll have a sleep-in watching. Yeah, I'll be here. It was fun last year, I'll be honest with you. It was fun. And sleep-in, we'll be teaching the word plus playing games, and we'll have a theme to it, and then we'll have a she got her mic back up. I seen her turn her mic back on. And we'll have the YouTube. We'll watch Christian videos singing and watching Christian movies, you know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning until they pass out finally.
You know, and we also had someone rededicate their life to the Lord, one of our helpers,
right.
from watching one of those videos.
Praise God.
Yeah, and then we baptized her the very next day. So that
yeah,
was cool.
So. Yeah. Amen. It's good stuff. 2016. Is okay, y'all ready? Let me say it first, then we can y'all go. Let me say that one more time. 2016, the year of the great breaking loose. All right, y'all ready? 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Hallelujah. We're believing God. We're believing God. Have faith in God. God's going to take meet your needs and take care of you. Praise God. Your needs will be met through the Lord. Amen. Thinking, is that everything I can think of? What's coming up? I think so. I think that's everything I was thinking in my mind. We're going to be talking about being faithful. Oh, I was going to say this. Monica keyed in on my mind. The Bible, because she's seen in there where that it did say, you know, do not forsake the assembly of the people, especially in the last days, Jesus come back. You know, she never seen that before. But the Bible also says that a lot of people are going to say, where's his return? And people were like, where is he at and everything. So don't get discouraged. Don't let the devil put it in your mind, where is Jesus at? When is he coming back? Because he says it comes back like a thief in night. You won't even hardly be expecting it. And see, a lot of people were ready back in September of last year, you know, the four blood moons, and they were thinking that blood moon, and it was getting hyped up all across the United States and around the world. And everybody, I watched people go to church. It's almost like a Christmas or Easter deal. You know, they go once a year, but they... Because, you know, they always make fun of people, Easter shock or Christmas deal, people come once a year. But, no, we make a commitment to Jesus, and that's the best way to do it. That way you don't get slack, because it's easy to get out there and get away than have to come back, and it's tougher to come back and get back in the Word and get strong. It's doable through His grace and His love and mercy, but it's easier to just stay with it. Hallelujah. But so, if you have those thoughts or you hear that, you know, where's His return? Just stay in faith, because have faith in God, because He is going to return. The Bible says it. He'll be back. He'll be back. You can't look at the circumstances here in the United States and around the world, what's going on and how bad things have gotten. You got to keep your faith in Him, praise God, and know that He's coming back. He's faithful to you and me, so we need to be faithful to Him, praise God. Amen. Just like a husband and wife, faithful to each other. I'm faithful to her. She's faithful to me. And praise God, it works out good that way. We got a covenant. It's a covenant, just like you have a covenant, you have a covenant. Each one of us have a covenant with Jesus, praise God. Blood through the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Amen. Faithful is to be trusted and reliable. Trusted and reliable, praise God. That's good. So we want to be trusted and reliable to the Lord. Let's look over at Psalms 40:10. Psalms 40:10, I have it up here on the screen. Awesome. Let me pray. Father God, I just thank You, Lord, for Your word. Your word is the truth, and the word truth sets us free, or makes us free. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, for giving me words of edification, exhortation, comfort, and encouragement to everyone here to keep going in faith. Have faith in You, Jesus. I'm here to build our faith in You, not to give up, not quit. Lord, I just thank You for it. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for illustrations and testimonies to go forth. Lord, out of me, Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for each and every one of us here. We're receiving wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and revelation of Your word, Lord. We're receiving that. And then, Lord, any questions that are being asked, let them people receive their answer, Lord. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for it. And Satan, we bind you up. You can't stop it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 40:10. I have not concealed Your righteousness within my heart. I have proclaimed Your faithfulness and Your salvation. I have not hid away Your steadfast love and Your truth from the great assembly. And that's what we're the great assembly here. We are talking about His faithfulness for us and our faithfulness for Him, praise God. And look at Abraham. Abraham. Name was Abram. God changed to Abraham. He was a faithful man of God. Faithful. He, you know, at 90 years old, well, actually at 75 when God made the promise to him, and the actual promise of Isaac having a child didn't come past till he was 100 years old. When he was 99 and Sarah was 90, the Lord showed up to him, showed him the stars of the sky, and said that your descendants and your children would be like the multitudes of the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. And he didn't waver. He didn't stagger at God's word when God came to him and talked to him like that, praise God. Made a covenant with him, and he believed just to God. Faith came. Faith came. He believed God, and faith came, and God imputed righteousness to a man just like you and me, a fleshly being just like you and me. Righteousness came into him because he had a relationship with Jesus Christ, a fellowship with the Father, hallelujah, which are one. And that's, you know, he didn't waver and didn't stagger. And a year later, when he was 100 and Sarah was 90, they had a little child named Isaac, praise God. And he kept following God's step, kept being faithful. Same with David. David started as a little old shepherd boy, but he was faithful. He trusted God. He had amazing faith that when everybody else was scared, we're talking about people that were like 6'8", 6'10", and you know, six something, like they said Saul was a head above and height above the rest of the children of the Benjamites, one tribe of the Jews. He was that tall. And he was scared just like the rest of them. But this little bitty, 16, 17-year-old boy is what the people, you know, theologists say that about to probably his age, little broody, good-looking boy. But he learned to trust God and believe God. And he fought that old giant to win. He believed he got him beat through the Father. He knew he had him beat because he defiled the God of the Israel. And by God, he won. Hallelujah. And then we look at Job. Now, this is a different story. And, you know, Job had a few setbacks. Job blamed God. He got mad at God. And see, that's one of the tools in the of Satan that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Isn't that right? Yeah, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. He's trying to, you know, that's what we're here to build faith in Jesus. But Satan's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Blame God for this. Blame Jesus for this. What's he doing wrong? What's it doing wrong? But Job didn't realize, but he had sin in his life. He had an area he had missed. And it says over there, and I'm not going to refer to it, but it's over there in Job 3, I think, 25, where it said, the greatest thing that I feared has come upon me. He had fear in his life that his children would turn away from God and curse God. He would lose all of his stuff and everything. See, the devil was putting that stuff in Job's mind. You're gonna lose your children. You're going to lose your finances. You're going to lose your land and your cattle and your sheep and everything else. And he kept thinking on it. You know, when you start thinking on it, it feeds down your spirit, whatever that is. And a lot of time, and then you start speaking it out and telling others about it and talking about it. And he had fear. And exactly what he believed, because you got a belief system, happened to him. He lost it all. And he was upset with God. But he didn't deny him, thank God. He never got to. His wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? But thank God he didn't. Because he had boils on his skin. All kinds of bad stuff happened to him. But then three friends that weren't so good, that were always just like beating on Job. It's all your fault, you done that. Which one part of it was, because he was in sin there. But one of them come, this younger one, waited till they all three older men of God got done speaking. And he kind of reprimanded them, but also Job too. And Job, then the Lord talked to Job, and Job seen where he missed it, got it back right, and he got double back. The children, the land, his finance, everything he had, he got double back. It said over there, I think it's in chapter 42 of Job. And yet he was not perfect, but he got back where he needed to be. Hallelujah. So we don't need to blame God. He's not our problem. All good things come from God. If there's a certain area of our life or somewhere where we think we're missing it, we need to get in there and be full of the Word of God, because you can't hear God like you need to hear God with these big old paddles out here, and unless you can hear you're in the Word of God quite a bit and listen to the Word of God and hearing good faith teachings. You got to be in the faith teachings, building your faith, and it sinks down in your spirit. Then when you're hearing God, listen to Him, the Holy Spirit is working with that Word that's been injected into your spirit to guide you to make the right decisions. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's how it works. And I'm here declaring God's faithfulness. Why? Because His Word is true, and I've seen His goodness. I've seen His goodness in my own mess, in my own problem. I remember this time, 2 years ago, right in 2014, Monica and I had loaded up to go to Decatur. I wanted to go turkey hunting. And by the way, I'm going to tell everybody, I finally got a turkey there this year, this April. Hallelujah. I've been going there 7 years camping out, and Monica and I hiking, and finally got a turkey there, glory to God. So we got some turkey meat there. It was fun. I enjoyed calling it and listening to it call back and forth. It was so much fun. And listening to that turkey. And good tasting too, wasn't it? It was good. And so 2 years ago, we drove out there and said, let's stay at that Ramada Inn. Well, we found a Ramada Inn with a hot tub and a swimming pool inside. I said, it'd be kind of like we'll do it like a date, a three-day date. Because I still just come off that bag, and I still hadn't gone back to work yet. In about another week. No, didn't. No, I didn't. Okay. No, I didn't. Not in April. Not in May. They took it off in April, 1st of April. Remember? Okay. And so went up there, and Ramada Inn. Mike should have stayed at a little better hotel. I was looking at the prices, and the Ramada Inn was so much cheaper. I should have stayed at a little better one. Anyway, I have my concealed handgun license, and I knew that you're not just supposed to bring your gun out in the public. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have someone you're seeing that has either a sword that's, you know, they taught us there that if that person's 100 foot away with a sword, they can't hurt you. They got to be up here if you're going to defend yourself. Now, if someone way out there's got a gun, sure, you defend yourself, but a sword, no. And if someone stole something, they're talking about stealing property off of your chainsaw, off your property. And some of them said, what are you going to do, the instructor? Some of them said, oh, shoot him. I said, no, you don't want to shoot somebody over no $250 chainsaw. And he said, no, you don't want to do that. You'll get yourself in a lot of trouble. $250 chainsaw is not worth killing anybody or shooting anybody. You'd use it to defend you and your family's life in case they have a gun or a sword, they're going to kill somebody. That's what you do it for. It's just for self-defense. And that's it. And so that night we got up in there and we were having a wonderful time, fixing to go next morning, going to get up at like 4:45 to go turkey hunting. And we stayed up to like 12:31, eat pizza, finally fell asleep. I had my gun there on the nightstand in the Ramada Inn there in Decatur. And all of a sudden, it's those old motels with those doors between the rooms. And all of a sudden, bang, 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 boom. Sound like they're finna come through that door. Freaked me out, folks. And see, at my own home, I kept it there for protection at my own house. So it's just like being at my house. And I didn't even think about it. You know, you're asleep. You wake up to that, and you're still halfway asleep. And Monica's, oh, who's trying to come in? And I jump and grab my gun. And instead of going through that door, I went out my front door, and this door was open, and had the gun up like this. And it was just some, like, 15-year-old boy and a 12-year-old boy trying to come through that door. And the grandma in there said, they thought it was another bathroom, which you know better than that. Anyway, she called the cops. I'm getting cuffed, thrown in the back of the... Oh, we did, but laid back down. And then was bang, bang on our door again, but it was the front door, and it was the cops. And they cuffed me and threw me in the back of that cop car 2 years ago. Huh? No one got hurt. Once found out what was kids instead of somebody trying to break into my room and hurt Monica and me, found out. Which would have been better? The kid accidentally breaking the lock and coming through the door and get shot? And then, yes, I'd have been in the right then because he got in my room. And then I'd have hated, you know, wouldn't even want to think about doing something like that. But anyway, so they threw me back to that old cop car, and that things are nasty. My goodness. I guess because blood and throw up and everything else the cops deal with. Because it's nothing but a plastic seat with no seat belt. Not a seat belt in the back of a cop car. Nothing but these plastic old hard seats. That's it. And anyway, they got down there. And I could tell I was praying in the Holy Spirit and keeping quiet because it was so much pressure. I was in my mind was coming through felony. I was thinking CDL, my hazmat lost. Because with a felony, you can't keep your hazmat. All those things were going through my mind, but I was keeping my mouth shut other than what the police were asking me while they were checking me in and everything. And that was just at the police station. And then they took me down to where the jail was, fingerprint and everything else. After that, and it's like by that time, it's like 3:30 in the morning. It's cold in there. And they finally throw me in my cell. I've never been inside. I've been in the cell, the multi-room up here at Mount Vernon County Jail preaching, but never actually in the cell. And got in there with some guy that had done some stuff wrong. Anyway, he was crying like a baby, so I got to pray for him. I had to pray for him. And my whole time, I'm thinking about what am I going to do? And the Lord give me peace enough, just stay calm and don't say anything rational, and I'm going to make a prayer petition over this situation, what's going through my mind. And Monica was praying for me, and she was pretty upset. She finally came down and bailed me out. Got my bail and got out. About 9:30 on a, was it Sunday morning? I think it was the Sunday morning. I'm not for sure. Or Saturday morning, one of the two. Anyway, she got me out. We stayed there because we went back to the hotel and stayed, didn't we? We went right back. Lost my gun. The cops kept it. And then we told them, the people up front were coming back to our room. They said, that's fine. We're sorry for everything that went on. They actually apologized to us, the front counter people at the Ramada Inn, what all happened to me. And stayed, because I wasn't going to just run from it. And we ate and finally went back the next day and went back home. And we even went swimming and everything else. So I wasn't going to let it get in fear. And then when I got back home, I got my notebook paper. And that's when I dated it to the Father in Jesus' name, put down scripture and prayed that I wouldn't be getting no felony and wouldn't be put in jail and everything else I believed for. And I did believe for my gun to get back, but they offered me a plea bargain deal that was so good, I said, you can keep my gun. I believe I could have kept fighting it, but I would have had to use up my vacation time to keep fighting it. and using my vacation time, and I didn't want to use up all my vacation time, then what am I going to do for a job and everything? So they had kind of had me there where, you know, what am I going to do? So I said, let's just plea bargain out then. They're going to, no probation, no jail time, no nothing. It'll be just like a regular misdemeanor, like you ran a stoplight or something like that. It'll be like that. I said, okay. So we just plea bargained out with the prosecutor. But you know what? What? You forgive them. I've already forgiven them. But the good news is God took care of the situation. Now, the devil has set a trap. But through God's word and being, he was faithful to his word, I got faithful to his word and I believed. And over that summer, I really watched what I said. Because I wanted to tell the people at work what was going on, but I kept my mouth zipped. I was keeping it all zipped, being quiet, wasn't telling anybody too much. And because I didn't want to talk and go against what I was praying about and believing for. Because this was serious. I needed to be out. Because, if you'd done something like that in New York, you'd have probably been, it'd take a mighty miracle of God to get you out of one of those states up in the Northeast or California or something like that. It would have been terrible. But, you know, I'm here to tell you, God took care of me. I'm not saying he couldn't done it. He could have done it, but it might have took a dream or Jesus actually come to visit the judge himself, but it could have been done. Hallelujah. So God is faithful. He is faithful. Let's look over Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Lean on, trust in. That's part of faithfulness. And be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, acknowledge him. And he will direct and make your straight and plain your path. You got to put your faith in him. You may be going through something right now. You may be in somewhere in your life like, I'm at a crossroad. I need this done or that. And I need to, find out. He says right here to lean on him, trust in, be confident in him. Don't lose your faith in him no matter what you're going through. With all your heart and mind in the word, you got to be in the word of God. Rely on his insight and understanding. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do with his word and his spirit. In all your ways, recognize, acknowledge him. He'll direct that path. Be led by peace. Be led by peace. Praise God. And like Pastor Terry always told me, he says, and he preached that many a times. He said, if you're under a lot of turmoil, a lot of confusion, it's not a good time to make a decision because, he said, they estimate almost 100% of the time you make the wrong decision when you're under all that pressure. You need to get wise counsel from God. Hallelujah. A Christian that you trust that can help, instill good counsel. Because they're not going through it. They're out on the outside looking in, looking at your problems, looking at your life, And it's got to be someone you trust and willing to do what they tell you to do. And Pastor Terry's, I've come to him for things like that. And she's come to the ladies over there. And we trusted. And we did and acted on what they told us to do. And sure enough, it all turned out. And we're here 10 years later, still riding with Jesus, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. Just because we listened to that man of God and those women of God, and they led us. And because they're not going through that, what we were going through at different times of our life, and they were able to install good wisdom into our life, praise God. So it's always good to have people around you that love you and care for you and want what's best for you, but yet will speak the truth in love. Hallelujah. So lean on God. Do what he tells you to do. And just be faithful. Jesus is faithful. We must be faithful. Let's see what the Father says about our brother, Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Jesus. He's our brother. We've got the same DNA. Let's look over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's take a look at that. Let's see what the Lord says about him. To which of the angels did God ever say, today I have begotten you, established you, in an official sonship relation with kingly dignity. And again, I will be to him a father, and he to me a son. You know what happened there? He's speaking a little bit of the death and resurrection. Then Jesus died on the cross. He took on all our sins. He was separated from God because he went 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the earth and hell to pay for our sins. And that's when he defeated the devil, took the keys from death, and came back out to the right-hand side of the Father. So now he's what? He's a son again. He was a son all that time since the foundation of the earth, but there for 3 days and three nights. And what he'd suffered, 9 or 10 hours on the cross, I mean, he was separated from God. He'd never been separated from his Father till that time for what? You and me. He was separated for that 9 hours on the cross, I think it was, or 10 hours on the cross, and he gave up his ghost, and then he went and paid the price for 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. Praise God. He was actually separated from it, and then he became a son again. And it goes on to say, moreover, when he brings the firstborn son, firstborn, you're reborn, you're born again, hallelujah, right? Aren't you born again? Well, he was the firstborn. It says the same thing over in Romans. He's the firstborn of many to become. He was born again. Hallelujah. Because he had every sin, murder, death, rape, perversion, tobacco, overeating, drunkenness, fear, lying, everything, every human, sexual sin, whatever it is, was put on Jesus. That's why the Bible said he was marred beyond the description of a human being. He couldn't even tell he was a person anymore because it was all put on him over those 9 or 10 hours on the cross. That's how much was on him. But yet he overcame the devil, praise God. And he paid that price 3 days, three nights. Why did he have to go there? Because we'd have had to go there if he didn't pay that price. Thank God we ain't got to go to hell. Woo! Glory to God. And we can live victorious here, too. I read it. All right. So he's the firstborn son. Again, into the habitable world. He says, let all the angels of God worship him. Referring to the angels, he says, God who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire. But as to the Son, he says to him, your throne, O God, your throne, O God. God called Jesus God. He said, you, God, is forever and ever to the ages and ages. A scepter, let me go on here. Yeah, let me get back here. Am I going the wrong way? Bear with me. Yeah, I'm good. A scepter of absolute righteousness. A scepter of absolute righteousness. We've been made righteous by his blood, but he never sinned. He was able to fulfill the whole law that you and I couldn't fulfill. Of justice and right forwardness. No, he did what was right. Listen, verse 9 says, you have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness, and purpose, thought, and action. And you have hated lawlessness, injustice, and iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, the Godhead, has anointed you with the oil of exalt joy and gladness above and beyond your companions. Praise God. So this is what God said about Jesus. You know, he was faithful to the end. He did what you and I couldn't do. So through his power and through his spirit, through his word and the blood, we can do what he asked us to do. We can overcome too the devil and win in life. Praise God. He's made it available. He was I'm not your example. She's not your example. None of us are examples. We should have fruit in our life. We're going to church and everything like that, but we're not your example to live by completely, because people can mess up. I would say that Monica and I have, thank you, Jesus, have been able to stay pure sexually and financially for all these years in ministry, praise God. And you know, there's been a lot of opportunities for her and opportunities for me. I mean, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, Monica was at the library. It might have been 5 or 6 years. She was homeschooling. And Daniel and Barbie, y'all went to the library. And some guy runs out of the library and says, oh, and he looks at her ring. Oh, man, you're taken. You're so cute. Some young guy made her feel good. Well, this Wednesday, I was at Mission Manor, a nursing home uptown. And I told her about it. And I was coming out with my bottles. And one of the nurses come running out there and said, hey, one of the nurses inside wants to know if you're married. So there's always opportunity to mess up if you want to mess up. But it's up to each and every person, do they want to mess up? The anointing on you of the Holy Ghost makes you look better to other people than you did before. And but the problem is, if you bite into that apple or that fruit, and didn't say it was an apple, that fruit, look at David. The sexual part of it just ruined his family almost from then on. His brother and his family were fighting. It was terrible. So we don't ever want to bite into sin. We want to stay away from sin. So praise God for it. God is good. And it's through him, it's through his, Jesus' faithfulness, we've been able to be faithful. Jesus shows the example of faithfulness all the way to the cross, all the way to the end, praise God. All right, let's look over 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Yet the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and set you on firm foundation and guard you from the evil one. He'll guard us from the evil one. That's what it says. He'll guard us from the evil one. Because why? Because he's faithful. He's faithful to us. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do the things which we suggest and with which we charge you. May the Lord direct your hearts into realizing and showing the love of God and into the steadfastness and patience of Christ and in waiting for his return. Monica was talking about that today. It was already in my message. Didn't even, you know, she didn't even really know it was in my message. We're going to stay steadfast to the end. So like I said earlier, don't get into people saying, where's he at, where's he at? You stay steadfast. Jesus is your example. If someone in your family is not going to church all of a sudden like they were, you cannot go from there and not your example. Jesus is your example, and the Word of God is your example that you have to go by. You can't go by grandma or grandpa. I don't go by grandma and grandpa. I go by what the Word says. I go by what Jesus did. Dead fast to the end. Never give it up. Faithful to the end, praise God. And we can do it. We can do it. And I seen a deal the other day. Pastors that start out, pastors, only 10% of them retire as a pastor. They either give up or quit. And it was a lot. There was a statistics of that. They said, I think it was like 75% of pastors, they said, are on the edge of depression because they're trying to, you know, bring the Word and try to fight the good fight. It was a statistics about pastors, what they go through and everything, trying to fight the devil and stay on top because they're trying to stay, you know, do what Jesus called them to do, hallelujah, and bring the Word, hallelujah. And Satan doesn't want them to bring the Word. He don't want them to teach people the Word of God and to love on people. He'd rather do the opposite. That's what Satan wants. But I'm not going to be that way. Because I know, I've seen a preacher. He kind of just fell away from Jesus. And his older son, watched his older son, was a good friend of his. Went to recovery at Family Life Church. Now, the mom stayed faithful pretty well. She'd come to church every once in a while and here and there. But the dad just fell away and just, it was terrible. And it wasn't long after that, the 32-year-old son, next thing you know, he overdoses on drugs. I'm like, man. And, you know, got to put our example in Jesus and the Word, not our family or anybody else. His faithfulness is our example. Praise God. We can do this through him, through his power. We're able to be Christ-like. And we can be that. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in the Word and everything else, you are the example to your spouse and children, family, co-workers, and the people around you, church, praise God. I mean, your example, each and every one of us write an example today because we're doing what Monica, the exact verse Monica said, 10:25 in Hebrews. And I tell the men at jail up there, you actually come in here, you've done the Word. And that was, do not forsake the assembly of my people. In other words, come hear the Word, get prayer if you need it, and get encouraged in Jesus, hallelujah. Catch this and think on this. Faithfulness is based on a decision, not a feeling. Faithfulness, I'll say it again, is based on a decision, not a feeling. We learned years ago from great pastors and preachers, even our marriage, you base that marriage and that marriage certificate on a covenant of faithfulness, on a decision to love her and her to love me, than feelings, because feelings come and go. You know, you have many different feelings that can come through your life. You may not like them like you at certain times of your life. You know, I mean, we were a blended family, folks. A blended family. And we come three and one children become four. And husband and wife become one, and we become a family like that. And it wasn't always the easiest. We had to tell each other sorry, and then especially the first 4, 5, 6 years, and love one another and forgive one another. And, you know, I remember when I used to be unsaved, it was totally different. I thank God I'm saved because I would go irate and crazy. And I was able to stay so calm and a lot through a lot of that stuff that went on through the some arguments and everything. Hallelujah. And Monica finally got where she got calm too, didn't you? Remember you? You get mad at me and leave there in the first 3 or 4 years, there, 5 years. But it got so much better. I'd be looking out, I'd see that the right-hand side of her vehicle out there, the tire would hit a rock, peeling rocks. Then she'd go to God. She'd go to God, and she'd get quiet, and God give her peace back, because God wanted to keep us married, because it was a Christian marriage, and He liked that, and He wanted to keep us together. He wants all. Even if I believe in my heart, even if you're not Christian, God wants two people that are not even saved to be married and stay married. He'd rather that, and He'd rather you stay together, and then even if they weren't saved, but especially Christian marriages, because we are in it. Example to a certain point to other people if we're doing what's right and doing it Jesus's way, we can be that example that we're supposed to be. And finally we worked through all those times and through 2006, 2007, 2008, and it was getting better and better, 9, 10, 11, and now it's so sweet, you know. I couldn't think about being away from her, praise God. It would be terrible. You know, a wife is a good thing, is what the Bible says of her in Proverbs. Hallelujah. So I try not to provoke her no more. And I can't, you know, the thing is, a man, it says in the Bible, do not provoke your children to anger. You can't do that. You can't even tease them. A man's limited. I'm telling you, he's limited. If I do stuff to her, it says over there in Peter, see, I read the word. I know what it's saying. My prayers are going to be hindered if I'm mean to her or do what's wrong. So I'm kind of locked up there where I got to know her, stay free and do what I need to do. I got to be nice to her, loving to her, and I can't aggravate the kids. I'm down to aggravating the dogs and coworkers because that's all I got left. I can only kid play with them, you know, can't aggravate anybody else, my family. Like I said, faithfulness is based on a decision, not a feeling. Do I feel like it? Do I feel like loving her? Do I always like her? There at the beginning, didn't always like her, but still loved her, praise God. The Bible says you're supposed to love everybody, but you may not like them. Well, if it's somebody that's unhealthy for you, that not, you know, just like a friend or whatever, or it's a cousin or nephew or whatever, you have to visit them at the, that's why you got to have be ready for forgiveness and everything else at holidays and everything else, because you may not like them, but you still got to love them, and you got to be around those people. But if it's someone you don't have to be around, that's abusive to you or whatever, no, you got to have healthy boundaries there that where you don't have to put up with that. If God said to do it, then we got to do it. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. And that's just the way it's got to be. Let's look over at Matthew 25:21. We're about ready to close here. Let's see here. Matthew 25:21. And this is what we all want to hear. You want to hear it as well as I want to hear it that day when Jesus blows the trumps and calls us out of here, the rapture. His master said to him, "Well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear. "You have been faithful and trustworthy over little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into the share of the joy and the light and the blessedness which your master enjoys." So this is what we want. This is my desire, to serve Jesus and hear that from Him. "Well done, good and faithful servant." And do you know, each one of you and I have callings. They're irrevocable. They'll be there forever. I had to find out what my calling was. I was in the Word, full of the Word, and I got quiet before the Lord, and God started showing me. And get a pen and pad, and He'll show you what your callings are. He's got callings for you and giftings for each and every one. And they're for us to use to be a blessing to ourselves and to the ministry and people around us, praise God, therefore. And we're faithful to the end and make it through the end. You're going to get not only the crown of life, but you'll get jewels. And it even says over there that you'll help go with Jesus to rule the nations. Rule the nations. Because there's going to be that 1,000-year millennial time that we come back to the earth after the 7 years tribulation. And people will be here, and we'll be here ruling and reigning with Him. And, hey, I don't want to lose my spot where Jesus said, you know, grace me to be. I want to be where I'm supposed to be and serving Him, being faithful to Him, and doing what I'm supposed to do, praise God. And that starts at one step at a time. I started faithful with His Word. After I give my life to Him, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, got my prayer language, you know, and got in the Word come alive, I started understanding it. Then all of a sudden, one June, I just led by the Spirit, overwhelming, wanting to go help with the children at Vacation Bible School, First Baptist Church. Just wanted to do it. And I remember, I'm in there with them. I was off for some reason at work. I forget what it was. Fell out of the back of a trailer at Grocery Supply. And I started helping those ladies teach them little kids. And it just led from one thing to a ministry of 5- and 6-year-olds to 5th- and 6th-grade boys to youth to helping other ministries to pastorship and everything else. One step out and don't try to take the big step. Just take that first little step because you're graced to do it. You're graced to take that first little step. And you have a wanting to do it, and God will help you. Once you start it, He'll grace you to start doing it, praise God. You know, the grace is there for that one little step. Don't try to do a bunch at one time, because I've seen people that try to get in a bunch of ministries and they're not in the Word and steadfast doing their confession, staying strong in it, and especially if it's a bigger type ministry, and then they just disappear. The devil attacked them and they couldn't take it because they were, and you know, when something happened to their family or something, they weren't able to go do their preaching or teaching, go do stuff they were supposed to be doing or called to do. Because things that were going on around their life, they had to go take care of that. Because they weren't steadfast in the Word of God like they should be. And we got to be steadfast in the Word. Hallelujah. And we got to be faithful to the Word. Faithful to Jesus. Okay. We're out of time. All right, let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus. You did what we couldn't do. We give you praise and the glory. We honor you today. We thank you, Lord. We have every need met through the name of Jesus, through your word. Your promises are yes and amen. We're gonna read your promises. We're gonna confess them out loud over our lives. We thank you, Lord. We believe them. We trust in them. Have faith in God. We're having faith in you. We're having faith in you. We trust you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We will not give up. We will not quit. Father God, I pray for everyone here and everyone listening that the anointing will come on them to just like a bulldog faith, to just stay strong in the Lord, not to give up, not to quit. I'm going to go with Jesus no matter what and keep following after Him and no matter what's going on around me. And that's my decision. I'm sticking to it. And Lord, we thank you for it. Just empower everyone here just to stay faithful to you because you're faithful to us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, if there's anybody listening by Voice of Believers Church, .org. You listen to these CDs, these teachings through the website, or if you hear it through a CD and you say, hey, I want this Jesus. I want this faithfulness in my life, this consistency in my life, this salvation. Yeah, if that's what you want, I'll pray and believe with it with you. You'll just have to pray after me. And if not only that, I believe you should do what Luke 11:13 also says, that you can ask Him to fill you up with His Holy Spirit also. That's part of it, and get strengthened. Just sell out for Jesus. Just go all the way and say, here, be my Lord and say, Lord. Just sell out to Jesus. So if that's you and you're hearing this, well, just pray this with me. Jesus, according to your word, in Romans 10:9-10, if I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and was raised back to the right hand, side of the Father, I shall be saved. Jesus, I believe. Come into my heart, it says. So be my Lord and Savior. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit according to your word. I just sell out to you. I use my life. I give you my life. You are my Lord. Show me your will for my life. I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you need to go to voiceofbelieverschurch.org on the prayer link. Click on it. Put in who you are and that you prayed that prayer. And we'll be send it. And we'll be praying for you. And if you heard it through the CDs, you can get on either the website. If you heard it on the CDs, you need to get on the website and do the same thing. Or you can go to the Voice of Believers Church Facebook page and like on us. And we'll okay that. And then you can tell us about it. And we'll be praying for you. But wherever you're at across the world, you need to find a good local church that's teaching faith. Teaching the faith in Jesus and his word. How to stay faithful to him and use your faith for the things that you need. And tell the people there about it. Find you someone that you can tell about it. And get plugged in. Get plugged in to serve the Lord Jesus. Because it's so much fun when you're plugged in to serve. It just fulfills your life. Now, Lord, everyone that's here and everyone that's listening, I say that we're all the head, not the tail, the lender, not the borrower. Bless coming in, bless going out, blessing the city, blessing the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he'll have to flee from us seven because he is in us. The Holy Spirit is greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that writes against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We give, and it shall be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall mean given to our bosom. For the same measure we meet with all shall be measured to us again. Beloved, I pray above all things thou mayest prosper in all things, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Though 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 on the right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. No plague or disease will come near our dwelling. With a long life you satisfy us. Thank you, Lord, Lord, for a long, healthy life. Lord, we take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down any and all thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus. Thoughts of fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, depression, discouragement, condemnation, any of the works of the devil, we rebuke and bind them up and say, get out of our mind. We're going to think on the Word of God. We're going to get in the Word of God. We plead the blood of Jesus over our mind. We're going to get full of that good Word and stay faithful to Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for revelation, knowledge, and understanding of your Word and wisdom of your Word. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, to bring us those people that don't know you at all, that hadn't had anything to do with Jesus. And you get to share about how good he is, how good Jesus is. And we can share his faithfulness and what he's done for them. And Lord, bring us those to him. Lord, we're just believing for salvation of people around us and people that we run into, Lord. That conversation will come up. And Lord, the ones that do know you, Jesus, Lord, that we can talk to them about faith in Jesus and all good things come from God. He gives us abundant life through Jesus. And that we can help them understand that there's a devil out there that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, that's trying to hurt them. And we can teach them how to overcome the devil and be on that solid rock ground of Jesus Christ and his word so they can get out of that sifting sand. We can teach them and help them to get into that solid rock and not be in that sifting sand where their life just keeps falling apart. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for us being able to help those people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody need any prayer, come on up. I'm here to pray. Hallelujah. The anointing.